And all the time, praise the name of Jesus. Are you glad you're here today? I'm glad I'm here, even though I'm limping a bit. But, I was praying this morning. I told the enemy, I said, you ain't keeping me from church today. I'm going to go. No matter how I feel, no matter what my toe is telling me, it's a bit painful. But hey, I said, I'm going to church today. I'm going to preach today, somehow, by God's grace. And I got little Abriel to pray for my foot this morning. And she prayed fervently. I said, Lord, that's a child's faith. And I believe that you have healed me. Amen. So here I stand. Praise God. He's an amazing God, an amazing God. Thank you, Jesus. So it's good to see you all. If you were here last Sunday, we had our visiting speaker come and preach on the love of Jesus. And you can never go wrong when you trust in the love of Jesus. And what a simple but yet profound, awesome message that we had from him. By the way, he's had a baby girl now, they're both of them. And so their first little daughter was born last week, this week just gone, and so he's celebrating being a father for the first time, which is great. Today we're having some translations as well, so I'm going to go a bit slow, so you can translate. We have some who are watching online as well, which you'll be glad to hear, so we can reach people who are not here too. But that's no excuse for you to stay at home and go online, okay? We need you here. It's for those who really cannot get to church, we can do something about it. Isn't technology good? Today we can use our technology for those who are unable to come because of illness or whatever reason they're unable to come. We can get the message and what we do here right into their homes, which is amazing. So thank God for the technology. There was a little girl who went up to her mother and told her mother, Mommy, I have a stomachache. And the mother replied, that's because it's empty, dear. You have to put something into it. That's into your stomach. So that evening, the family invited the pastor to dinner. And the pastor said, I have a headache. I think I have a headache. And the little girl smiled and said, that's because it's empty. You had to put something into it. Father, this morning we thank you that we can smile, we can have fun in church. We thank you, Lord, that your word is awesome, it's powerful. We thank you, Lord, that your word gives life. And God, as we meditate on your word this morning, just ask that you will just shine your light and give us something that we could take today into our own lives and apply it. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you about having a servant heart. Having a servant heart. You see, have you noticed that everything about the kingdom of God is completely the opposite to the world's view? Have you noticed that? Everything in the kingdom of God is completely opposite to the world's view. Let me give you some examples. The Bible tells us to love your enemies. Wow. What does the world tell you? Hate them. Destroy them. The Bible tells us love your enemies. And it goes a bit further. Bless those who persecute you. Oh no. Bless those who persecute you. Go the second mile, not just the first mile, go that bit further. Do not repay evil for evil. What does the world say? Tit for tat. If they've harmed you, harm them. It is better to give than to receive. What does the world say? No, get everything for yourself. You need to treasure up everything. Don't give anything away. But the Bible is quite the opposite of what we as a society have been taught to do. Can you see that? The first shall be last and the last shall be first. How does that happen? Everybody clamors for some superior position, or they clamor for something that they want to get to, and in doing so, they might push others out of the way, get on their heads, trample them out in order to get what people want. People have become very selfish. But the Bible says the last shall be first and the first shall be last. There's a beautiful passage of scripture that talks about the servant heart. And that's found in St. John's Gospel. Turn with me to St. John's Gospel, chapter 13. St. John's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. So I'm reading from, I think this is the New International Revised Version. That you might be reading it in, I don't know what version comes up there, but it doesn't matter. It says this. We find that Jesus here is teaching his disciples a very fundamental lesson about leadership. That's what he's teaching them. But he's teaching them by being a servant and by washing their feet. Now, this must have been a shocking act for the disciples, because they would never expect their master to wash their feet. I'm not reading, by the way. I'm not reading the scripture. It doesn't say that there. I'm just giving you some background. In Jewish culture, it was customary for the household servant to wash the guest's feet. Why? Because it was dusty. And so when they walked in, they didn't wear nice posh shoes that we wear today. Their feet were dusty. And so it was customary to have their feet washed, but not by the master. It was done by the servant. So this must have been totally shocking to the disciples to see what Jesus actually did. But Jesus was role modeling something so profound and something so fundamental that I want us here this morning to get a hold of, because this will set us free. If we get this concept, if we get this principle into our lives, it will set us free. So let's read. It was just before the Passover, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Isn't that amazing? Jesus loved them to the end. Right till his very dying breath, Jesus loved those who nailed him to the cross. And supper being ended, and the devil already having put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose up from supper, laid aside his garment, his outer garment, took a towel, girded himself. So he got up from the meal and took off his outer clothes. He wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a large bowl. Then he began to wash his disciples' feet. He dried them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Verse 6, he came to Simon Peter. Lord, Peter said to him, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. Jesus loved his disciples to the very end. Even when he knew that one would betray him, even when he knew that he would be betrayed by one, Jesus still loved him. Even when he knew that he would be denied by another, even when he knew that he would be deserted by all of them, by all his disciples, he still loved them to the very end. Jesus loves you no matter how many times you fall. No matter how many times you walk into things that are ungodly, Jesus still loves you and he calls for you. He restores you. He shows you his love. I wonder how many of us would choose to love this way. When we know somebody is going to betray us, would we choose to love? When we know somebody is going to desert us, would we still choose to love? God knows us, and he knows us really well. Sometimes we forget that. He knows the sins we have committed, those that we have done in the past. He knows those things that we're going to commit in the future, those sinful things that we might get involved in. He already knows. And still, he loves us. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing? That he doesn't condemn us, but he still loves us. The question is, how do we respond to such love? How do we respond to such love? And how can we reject such love? You know, I'm saddened when I hear people very carelessly talk about Jesus. They don't even have a care in the world for Jesus. Doesn't feature in their lifestyle at all. And I sit back and I think, wow, if only you knew the amazing power of Jesus, the amazing love of Jesus. If only you knew how liberating his love is, you would embrace it. You would give anything for the love of Jesus. You would sacrifice anything for his love, because his love sets you free. How many want to be free? People do want to be free, but yet they remain bound. Why? Because they're seeking for love in the wrong places. Whilst Jesus is already there, he's already given everything, yet they are seeking for something else. And they feel so disappointed because they're sought for love in the wrong place. Jesus, he's having a meal with his disciples. And he gets up, he takes his coat off, and he wraps a towel around his waist. He pours water into a bowl, and he starts to wash his disciples' dirty, dusty feet. The first thing that we can learn from this about leadership is that leadership is serving others. Leadership is about serving others. It isn't a comfortable passage for many leaders, because there are many leaders who like their position. There are many leaders who like the power that they hold. But Jesus here is teaching that to be a leader, you must be a servant. I wonder how much serving you and I we do in our own homes. How much of the serving do we do to our spouses? How much of the serving do we do towards our children? How much do we serve in our places of work? Do we go into our place of work with a servant heart, with a servant attitude? Do we go into our place of work telling ourselves, I really want to serve the people that I'm working with? Or do we go with some other attitude of, I don't care about whom I'm working with? What's our attitude in church? Do we come with a servant heart when we come to the house of God? Do we come with an attitude of saying, I'm willing to serve in the kingdom of God? I'm willing to serve the house of God. What is our attitude in everything that we do? How passionate are we about serving others? Are we really passionate? Do we really want to go that extra mile to serve somebody else? To bring somebody else? To bless somebody else? It's so sad that today we live in a very insular society. Society, people are only concerned about themselves. Often we do not even know who our neighbor is. And I think that's sad. Many years ago, people knew each other down the street. They would look after each other's children. There was security, there was safety, because they knew people down their street. And today it's so sad that people have become so self-centered. It's all about themselves, that they do not want to reach out. It's all about collecting and saving and putting things away for themselves, but never being able to meet the need of somebody else. How passionate are we about serving? How willing are we to do the jobs that nobody else may want to do? You know, the menial stuff. How willing are we to do them? The jobs that are not in our job description. Often I hear even in work people say, that's not in my job description. So I won't do it. How willing are we to sacrifice our time for the sake of serving one another? How willing are we to take time out, to spend some time with somebody else? How willing are we to go that second mile when it's needed? We can ask ourselves these questions. We can ask ourselves, whom can I serve today? How can I serve today? Maybe you can ask yourself on a Sunday morning, how can I serve today in the house of God? How can I serve somebody today in the house of God? And it's just to come, you know, with that attitude of I want to. Not because I have to. I want to do something. I want to bless somebody. And I think having that attitude is liberating. It's because you come without an expectation of people wanting to serve you. You come with an expectation and a willingness to serve somebody else. And I think when you come with that attitude, you won't get upset. You won't get hurt. You won't get put off. Why? Because you come with an attitude of, I want to serve. I want to serve. In this church here, we have a very specific style of leadership. And that leadership is called servant leadership with accountability. What do I mean by that? It's that we come under the people and we lift the people up. We don't come from up and weigh heavy on people's lives. But rather we come with an attitude of, how can I serve you? How can I bless you? I hope that you have experienced that from us as leaders. You've experienced that servant heart, that servant attitude in our leadership. In our church, we have an acronym that we use, and it's HEART. The acronym is HEART. And the first one of that is to honor God. We honor God in this house. And as we honor God, we honor one another. We honor one another. One of the things that we have even in when you do foster caring, that's one of the things that we tell our kids. respect, honor one another, value one another. We work with the spirit of excellence, that's the E. We work with the spirit of excellence. Why? Because Jesus did things well. He never did things half-heartedly. He did things with all of his heart. He reached out to people at every opportunity. Excellence for us is not being perfect, because none of us are perfect. But it's about striving to do our best in everything. Not going for the mediocre stuff, but always doing our best in everything we do. That's why when we put on an event in this church, we really go all the way to do something really well. When we do our hospitality, we want to do it really well. We don't want to just throw a few biscuits around, you know, and a few cups of tea and coffee around and say, come and enjoy our hospitality. How many would like that kind of hospitality? If you invited someone to your home and you just threw a few biscuits around, nobody would like that kind of hospitality. We don't do that kind of hospitality. We do it better. We do it well. But that takes time and effort, doesn't it? It does. It takes somebody to shop, somebody to prepare, somebody to lay that table so that you and I can go in and enjoy that hospitality. But that we enjoy doing because that's who we are. We also want advancement. That's the A. We want advancement. We believe in not staying in one place. We believe in moving forward because we are a growing church. We are growing in our own lives. As much as we want advancement in our jobs, advancement in our places of work, advancement in life, so must we aspire to advance and move forward in the things of God. What's our pursuit? It's the kingdom of God. Why are we here? It's to affect and effect people who are around us, that they will see Jesus. That's why we're here. That's why we spend our time here. It's also about reaching out. It's not about ourselves. Many times, everything we do is not about ourselves, although we might like to think of it that way. It's because we want to reach out. The 31st of October, the Kids Streets Party, is because we want to reach out to the kids on that night when they're all dressed up in their scary clothes. We want to invite them in here. We want to give them something that's refreshing, something that's different. They can catch a different spirit. That's why we do it, and we want to do it well. That's reaching out. When we do our events on the street, that's reaching out. When we go and visit somebody, that's reaching out to somebody else. We also like togetherness. That's the T. That's important to us. How many know that when you're united, it's very difficult to break people who are in unity because they are of one mind, one heart, one vision, one goal. And as a church, that's our aim. We want God's blessings to flow when we are united. Because then we read that in the scripture. That when there is unity, God commands blessing. And so we strive to be united. We strive to learn to grow together. Because we are all different. We have different personalities. And we often rub each other the wrong way. But yet, through all of that, when we have an attitude of serving, even when somebody rubs you up the wrong way, when your attitude is to serve, you'll find an amazing response that comes because you are serving this person. That's why Jesus was teaching his disciples this profound style of leadership that comes through being a servant. The second thing that Jesus we're showing here is that serving is following Jesus as our example. And here's the thing, if God in the flesh is willing to serve in this way, we his followers his disciples who are following Jesus must also be willing to serve him in this way. And serving in this way glorifies God. Amen? It glorifies God. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. It tells us this. It tells us in our eating, in our drinking, and in all that we do, we should glorify God. In everything that we do, we should glorify God. And I think if you have that attitude, God, I'm doing whatever I'm doing to glorify God, life will be a better place for us. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. It says this, do everything you say or do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Always give thanks to God the Father through Christ. It says, do everything you say or do in the name of the Lord Jesus, always giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ. I always tell this to my colleagues when they ask, how are you? I said, I'm really good. And I go a bit further than that. I said, look, in this country we are blessed, truly blessed. I think none of us here can say we are in poverty when you really know what poverty is. Because we are blessed. We may not have the Mercedes-Benz car or the posh BMW or a nice big fancy house, but in the little things, in our day-to-day lives, in our living, God has blessed us. We might not have much, but we have something. We don't go hungry. We don't starve. Our children are not looking like, you know, just as skeletons. They have something to eat. We have a great social care system in this country. Many nations have nothing. We have a good NHS. The NHS should pay me for this. When everybody's blaming the NHS, I think we should be thankful for the NHS. We don't realize it. Go to another country, you won't get anything free. But you walk into our hospital for treatment, you get it at the point of treatment free. Even though you might be a visitor, you go into an emergency care, you, at the point of treatment, you get seen. They don't charge you. We need to be thankful that we have an NHS that supports us. But I'm sad when I see people waste things in the NHS, when they waste it. I know I work in the pharmaceutical industry, so I see doctors every day. And when I walk into clinics, I see DNAs 15. You know what DNA is? Did not attend. So they booked a clinic appointment, but they haven't bothered to show up. And I think they should be charged. They should be charged. Because it's free. Prescriptions are taken repeatedly. It just sits on people's shelves. Stocks of drugs just sitting there. Why? Because they get it for nothing. If they had to pay something for it, they'll think twice before they pick up a prescription. That's sad. That's wastage. And I hope it's not happening here with any one of us, because that's wastage. That's not being a good steward of what God's given us. I know this because I see this every day in my work. And it's sad because people don't value the doctors, their time. They don't value the NHS. They don't value the prescriptions that are written, that are given free. For some you have to pay, but for some others it's free. Serving is following Jesus as our example. Everything that we do it with a thankful heart, to glorify God. Work as if we were working for God. That's what I do. Every time I'm out on the field, I'm working. I know I'm getting paid by my company, but I always say this, God is my source. I do my day's work because I know God is the one that I have to report to in a sense. He's watching. He knows what I'm doing. I cannot sit at home and do nothing and pretend that I'm working. I cannot go off sick pretending to be sick when I'm not sick. Because that's robbing your company, robbing those who are employing you. And that's not being a good steward. Work, when you work, don't do it for human beings. Serve God in what you're doing. Because you'll find it more fruitful, more beneficial. And you'll go in with a smile on your face. Not because your manager doesn't smile at you or somebody else didn't smile at you. You'll have a smile. Why? Because you're serving God in the place that He's placed you in. And I believe this quite truthfully. I mean, God has been very, very gracious. And He's always blessed us. He's always provided for us. But our attitude, my attitude has always been, I always give my best when I'm at work. I always do what is required and a little bit more every time. You know, God watches our stewardship. How do we manage our time? How do we manage things at work? We all look for higher positions, higher pay. But if you're unable to manage the things that we are already doing, if we're unable to do it really well, how can we do the higher things? And I believe God promotes us when we do the little things, the menial things, the things that nobody else wants to do. When we do it with a joyful heart, with a servant heart, with an attitude that says, you know, it doesn't really matter. I'm serving my God in what I'm doing, and I will do my best. You know what? God begins to raise you up. Even without your knowing, you suddenly realize, wow, I was there last year, but now I'm here. That's because God does it. You blessed so far? Yeah. Not angry with me? I said this is be liberating. This will be liberating. Having a right attitude. Having that I want to. Not I have to, but I want to. I really want to, not have to. I really want to give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. I want to bless the Lord at all times, because His praise will always be on my lips. I want to serve God in any way that I can, because I want to bless my Jesus. I want to bless my God because He loves me so much. I want to serve Jesus because He loves me. How many of us, we serve one another because of love? We teach that in marriage as well. When you come into marriage, two people are coming together. Come with an attitude of serving one another. Not lording it over one another, but serving one another. How can I serve you? How can I bless you? I tell you, that's liberating. Because you can never be disappointed when you come with a servant heart or a servant attitude. Never can you be disappointed. And if you want to live in a life of no disappointments, then have an attitude of serving. A servant's heart. You might say that's a tall order. How on earth can I go about doing this? Let me give you a tip. You got to train yourself. You got to train yourself to have this attitude that you are serving Jesus in everything you do. And when you do this, you will not get hurt and you will not feel disappointed. And you will not feel down because you know that it isn't for man that you are doing what you're doing, but you are glorifying God in what you are doing. That is liberating. How many want a disappointment-free life? You don't want to get disappointed in life, then serve God in everything you do. Have an attitude of that which comes from, I want to serve you, Lord, because I love you. I want to serve my fellow man, not because I have to, not because, you know, Joe Blocks down the road has given 1,000. I want to give 2,000. It's not about that. It's because I want to. It might be almost just giving a little bit of time. I want to give some time to that person because I love that person. You got to train ourselves to do that. It's a great attitude to have. If you can bring yourself to put in Jesus at the center of everything you do, then your world will be a better place. I can guarantee that. It will always be a better place. Because there are so many people who are walking around holding grudges, holding disappointments in their lives. They get hurt and disappointed when nobody recognizes what they have done. Nobody says thank you. How many have seen when your drivers will see this? You give somebody room. You let them pass. Or they let you pass, rather. They wanted to say thank you. If you, for whatever reason, your mind might be somewhere else, you know, you don't mean to be rude, but if you fail to say thank you, and then suddenly look, they can say, you could have said thank you. Or something. You can see it on their face, you know. You know. Or they give you the finger, or, you know, you'd have seen that. How many have seen that? They expect a thank you when they've done something good for you. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. Don't expect a thank you when somebody does something good to you. Don't expect it. If it comes, great. But if you expect it and it doesn't come, you get disappointed. Why? Go through that phase. You do it because you want to. You want to give room to that person to, you know, take your place. Great. He doesn't have to say thank you. Do you see what I mean? It's good manners to say thank you. But who am I to demand that you say thank you? I gave you my space. I let you pass. Can you see it? But people get hung up on all these things, and they walk around with disappointment and grudges. But it's not the other person's fault. It's yours. You got to deal with yourself and your own attitude. Is this liberating somebody here today? Or is it causing you to go, oh, I don't like you? This is liberating stuff. Hallelujah. Many churches have split as well because of these things. It's sad that it happens even in some churches. Not here. Thank the Lord for that. Praise God. Oh. You know, Jesus, he told of the Pharisees in Matthew 23. You read that. Because they were doing good and praying just to be seen in the marketplace. They loved the places of honor. They love the best seats in the synagogue. Following Jesus is very different to following anyone else. Following Jesus breaks down barriers. It breaks down barriers of racism. Imagine that. If you had an attitude of, I want to serve you, I want to serve you, would there be racism? It breaks down the barriers of prejudice. I want to serve you. Of social class and status, I want to serve you. Many people are fighting and clamoring for equality today. If only they looked in the Bible. The Bible talks about equality. Did you know that? People are clamoring for equality today. Little do they know that it's in the scripture. Equality is all about what Jesus is. I'll show you. Proverbs 22. The rich, verse 2, the rich and the poor have a common bond. The Lord is the maker of them all. Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Is that good? Equality in Christ Jesus. I hope somebody gets this message. Those who are fighting for equality, look in the Bible. In Jesus, you have equality. You're no different to the other person. Your color doesn't matter. Your background doesn't matter. Your national heritage doesn't matter. How rich you are doesn't really matter. How poor you are doesn't really matter. Because in Jesus, you are one. He doesn't look at somebody in a different way and another in a very different way. His love is the same for each and every one of us, whether we believe in him or not. And that for some to grasp is a difficult thing because we want the love of Jesus for ourselves. As if we have earned it. We haven't earned it. We cannot earn the love of Jesus because it's already given. Are you getting something today? Let's look at Romans 3 and verse 22 to 24. This is in the Message. So it says this, God setting things right that we read about has become Jesus setting things right for us. And not only for us, but for everyone, say everyone, who believes in him. God setting things right, Jesus setting things right for us is for everybody, not just for us who are here in church, who may think we are better privileged, which we are not. It's for everybody. There is no difference between us and them in this. It's for everyone who believes. Since we've compiled this long and sorry record as sinners, both us and them, and prove that we are utterly incapable of living the glorious lives God wills for us, God did it for us. He already did it for us. That while we were yet in sin, Christ died. Anyway, he didn't wait till we somehow got a bit more holy or righteous or pious or whatever you want to call it. He took a chance, really. And he laid down his life whilst we were in sin. God did it for us out of sheer generosity. He put us in right standing with himself. Hallelujah. Out of sheer generosity. I wish we all had the spirit of generosity. That we are willing to give just because we want to give. The spirit of generosity. You will see that in some people because it's on them. You see people who are generous. They don't hold back. They might not have much, but out of the little they have, they still will give. You will see a generous spirit. It's not forced. It is there. Why? Because they have got the concept of the spirit of generosity in them. God gave it out of sheer generosity. He put us in right standing with himself, a pure gift. He got us out of the mess we're in, and he restored us to where he always wanted us to be. He restored us. He got us out of the mess. Hallelujah. You know, I get excited when I read this scripture. He got us out of the mess we're in. He got me out of my mess that I was in. And he restored me to where he always wanted me to be. And I look at my life today, I'm thankful that God has brought me to this place. I don't know how, really. I know God's done it because he wanted to do it. Not because I did anything for it. Not because I craved for it or paid money for it or begged somebody for it. It's because he already planned it. He already wanted to give it, and he had given it. And I was willing to receive it and take it and run with it. See, God has already given everything that we require and deserve. We have got to take it and say, thank you, Jesus. Instead of being ungrateful, be grateful to God. You know, be a person who's generous because God has been generous for you. He did it by means of Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, God did it. Hallelujah. Praise God. You don't have to run around trying to do something, trying to live a holy life, trying to live a righteous life, trying to live a life that looks pious and all holy, holy, and all that on the outside. No, God's already done it. He did it through Jesus. And it comes by just receiving Jesus into our lives and saying, Jesus, I need you. I love you. I want you to be part of who I really am. I want you to shine in my life. Is that dead easy? Asking Jesus to be part of your life. Does he put pressure on you? No. It's religious stuff that put pressure on people. Religious stuff. Jesus never, I think when we go to heaven, I was talking to Jenny yesterday, I think, when we go to heaven, we'll be shocked to see so many people. They thought, really? Do you made it to heaven? I thought only I, being a Pentecostal, born again, you know, Bible bashing, you know, tongue talking, you know, Christian who is here, and some of us will be shocked to see, you know, the Roman Catholics there, some of the, you know, other groups of people who really love Jesus. They may not do all the talking in tongues and all the other stuff, but they love Jesus. They genuinely love Jesus. And some of us are going to be in shock. Oh! That too. Who's not there? Yes. He did it by means of Jesus Christ. It's only through Jesus Christ. The third point is this. This is my last point. Serving is being Jesus in the flesh. Serving is being Jesus in the flesh. He took on the form of man. He became a servant. He became a slave. Philippians 2, 6 to 8 tells us this. Philippians 2, 6 to 8. That's my last scripture. In his very nature, it says here, he was God. He was God. Jesus was equal with God. But Jesus didn't take advantage of that fact. Instead, he made himself nothing. Some translators say of no reputation. How many of us want a reputation in life? We want to be recognized in life. But Jesus made himself of no reputation. He made himself nothing. Some translations, he says, he made himself a slave by taking on the nature of a servant. He was made just like human beings. He appeared as a man. He was humble and obeyed God completely. He obeyed God completely. He did this even though it led to his death. He did this even though it led to his death. We know people today in this century, not too long ago, in some countries where Christians for their faith have been beheaded. Beheaded cruelly. When I think of that, I say, Jesus, I am comfortable. They were willing to die for Jesus. You know why? Because they knew Jesus loved them. And they loved Jesus with a passion. Says it even worse. The worst kind of death that Jesus or anyone could die is death on a cross. Here's the question. Do we look for reputation? Do we look for recognition? Do we look for status? Do we strive for these things? Oh, are we happy? Striving to be servants. Striving to be generous. Striving to go the second mile. Striving to reach out. Striving to do whatever it takes to bless the kingdom of God, to enrich the kingdom of God, to serve in the house of God for the sake of Jesus. For the sake of Jesus, for the sake of reaching out with the love of Jesus to a broken humanity. A humanity that's been broken, been lost in their sin, in their messed up condition. You and I can reach out. Having this attitude, I want to serve you. I want to serve you. I want to serve you in church this morning. I pray that you will catch this greatest lesson that Jesus taught his disciples. The value of servant heart, of servanthood. You want to aspire to be a leader? Start to serve. Start to do those little things, those odd jobs, those things that nobody else wants to do. Because leadership in the kingdom of God comes through laying down your life, laying down your title, laying down your position. And here in this house, we don't mind, we might call ourselves leaders. It doesn't make any difference to how I serve and how I want to serve. Doesn't matter how many hours I'm at work, how tired I am. It doesn't really matter, because Jesus matters more. God's people matter more. I'll give you an example. I was away last week on a 3-day training. I was not too far. I was about 45 minutes to an hour away. We were overnight for two nights, Tuesday and Wednesday. But you know, I decided I will come on Wednesday night. I told myself I will come on a Wednesday night. I will drive off from my hotel. And I will come. Why? Because I value Jesus. I value the people who come to our Wednesday prayer and Bible study. I value you when you come. I appreciate it when you come. It's not because of me or for my sake. It's because you are serving somebody else. When you're coming on a Wednesday night, you're coming with the attitude of, I'm tired, but I'm still coming because I want to bless somebody. I want to pray with somebody. I want to lift up the church. I want to make sure people are won into the kingdom of God. That's why I come. And I pray this morning that God will just do something deep in our hearts to say, I want to come. I want to serve you, Jesus. I want to be a blessing, Lord Jesus. I know many in this house who do that. I know many who go out of their way to bless other people. God bless you for what you do. Because you go beyond your limitations to bless people. God bless you for that. God multiply that seed that you have sown into the lives of those whose lives you have touched by just being that smile to them. That person who has encouraged them. That person who sat with them. That person who has cried with them. That person who has just put their arm on their shoulder and said, I love you. God bless you for doing that. God multiply your seed that you have sown. Let's just, as we bow our heads in prayer tonight, let's just search our own hearts this afternoon, rather. Let's search our own hearts and say, God, am I truly a servant? Or am I pretending to be a servant, but yet my heart tells me otherwise, my actions show me otherwise? And if that is the case, we can put ourselves right. That's the beauty of the gospel of Jesus. We can say, Jesus, forgive me for missing this most important lesson of knowing how to be a servant in your kingdom. Forgive me, Jesus. God, help me to be a servant. Help me to be generous. Help me, Lord. We all need this. I need this myself. Don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can know Him right now. You can know Jesus right now in your heart. All you have to do is, the Bible tells us, to believe in our heart that God rose Jesus from the dead, to confess with our mouth that Jesus, you are Lord. The Bible tells us that we are saved. From what? From a messed up life, from sin, from missing the mark of God's best in our lives. Today, you can be saved from the power of the enemy. And the Bible tells us that in a moment, when we ask Jesus, when we believe in Jesus, when we confess Jesus as our Lord, in a moment, we are translated from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And that's Jesus. Is that amazing? In a moment. So you don't have to raise any hands or say any long prayers. Just believe that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. Because it's a transaction that takes us between Him and you. That's it. And you'll know it when you've been touched by Jesus. You will know it. So Father, I thank you today. God, you will teach us to have a servant heart, a servant attitude. The God that in everything we do, we will do it because we love you, Jesus. And because we want your kingdom, as it is in heaven, to be here on earth. So God, I thank you and I bless you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.